whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. This story here is about a man laying down sick of the palsy. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And Jesus sees this man and says, thy sins be forgiven. And they think he's blaspheming. But then he says, so that you know that I can actually do this, I say, get up and walk. And so he gets up and he walks away. And there's a message that I want to give us tonight pertaining to this particular area, but it's going to extend throughout Matthew, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But one thing I would encourage you, notice he says in verse number 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. If he can get the guy to get up and walk, he can forgive sins. Somebody say amen. That's right. Father, thank you for what you've given us in your word tonight. Help us to glean a blessing from it, Lord, and to leave here a little bit more enlightened than we were before we came in, a little different than we were when we came in, a little bit more changed into the image of Jesus Christ than when we came in. Bless now the preaching and teaching of your word tonight. And Lord, may we leave here with a deeper understanding of your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Talking about ordinary people with faith and an extraordinary God. I gave out an outline on Wednesday about the Gospel of Matthew. Everything that we're going to talk about over the next couple of Wednesdays is going to come out of the Gospel of Matthew. We've already looked at Genesis. Now we've come all the way over to Matthew. And let me give you some introductory thoughts here. To see the extraordinary, you and I must be ordinary people with faith and an extraordinary God. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. We are ordinary people. None of you can walk on water unless it's frozen. Would y'all agree with me? Amen. If it's unfrozen water, you cannot walk on it because you will fall through it because of gravity. Amen. Now, if you have enough velocity, you may be able to slide across it a little bit like you skip rocks, amen? But eventually, you are going to go down, amen? So we have to understand that you and I are ordinary people, but we have faith that we place in an extraordinary God. And faith in an extraordinary God enables you and I to see some extraordinary things, amen? And with that faith that we have, we all possess it, amen? All of you sat down in those chairs with faith that you would not fall. Now, the first time you fall, guess what? Your faith is going to be a little shattered in these chairs. Amen. But you have a chair. You have faith. You sat down in your chair. That is faith exercise. All of y'all have faith that the church would be open tonight. So you came. Amen. Now, heaven forbid that the church was closed tonight. Your faith would have been shattered. Amen. All of y'all have faith that your car would start tonight before you came here. Amen. All of y'all that drove. Amen. If you got in your car, it would shatter your faith. Amen. But you all had that faith. All of us have faith. We exercise it. Listed in Matthew and throughout the scriptures, faith has varying degrees. Varying degrees. So let's put that out there first. Faith has varying degrees. Throughout Matthew, we're going to see several varying degrees of faith. And by the way, the Bible still says this in Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear about an extraordinary God and what he can do, the more you will start putting your faith and trust in him. The less you hear about an extraordinary God, the less you'll put your faith in him. It's just a fact of the matter. If you came to me all the time and I always gave you $10, guess what you would have faith in? Coming to me and getting $10. That's how kids get spoiled. They come to you, can I have a piece of candy? You give them candy. Can I have a piece of candy? You give them a piece of candy. Can I have a piece of candy? And now they've got you decked, amen? And they come to you expecting what? Yeah. A piece of candy. And the minute you don't give them a piece of candy, what happens? Their faith is shattered in your candy-giving ability. You miser, you Scrooge, you grump, you grizzly bear. They'll call you all kind of things in their mind. They won't say it out loud, amen? But what am I saying here? Your faith and my faith is going to be tested and trusted, and we're going to put it in different things. Amen. And so faith comes by hearing by the word of God. There's going to be four different varying degrees of faith. We're going to look at throughout the book of Matthew. The first one is called little faith. We're not going to look at that one tonight, but there's little faith. The second one is great faith. We're not going to look at that one tonight. The third one then is cooperative faith. We're going to look at that one tonight. But then the fourth one is predetermined faith. We're not going to look at that one tonight. All of these we're going to cover. They all are in Matthew, and people had these varying degrees of faith. Amen. And so there is cooperative faith, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, cooperative faith. Now, what does cooperative faith mean? That means that you combine with someone else to do something. Amen. Let's look at the scripture here again. Notice verse number one. It says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So they brought this man in. Jesus sees their faith, it says there. Notice that. Jesus, seeing their faith, amen, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. How did Jesus Christ know that he had sins? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Everybody has sins. But especially, though, in biblical times, back in the Jewish times, if you had any kind of affliction, it was always linked to a sin of some sort. What did they accuse Job of? Surely you must have sinned. If you were prosperous, you were in good favor with God. Amen. But if you were a Jew and you suffer with some kind of ill or some kind of sickness, oftentimes it was associated with sin. Not always. But quite often it was. Matter of fact, over in John chapter 9, they said, who did sin, this man or his parent, that he was born blind? Now, what kind of logical sense does that make? Who sinned? The boy? You know the man couldn't sin because he wasn't born. And then his parents, how can the parents pass on their sin to him? Amen. Jesus said, neither one of them. He said, but that you could see the works of God. That's why he was born blind. And Jesus opened his eyes. Amen. So all sicknesses don't equate to sin. This particular case here might have been linked with sin because he said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. Notice verse 3. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, they spoke ill. They said, you can't do that. You can't say somebody's sins are forgiven. Hey, don't the Catholic priests do it all the time? Then are they better than Jesus? Amen. I hope y'all, if you're Catholic, amen. Don't hold it against me. I'm just saying, nobody can forgive sins except Jesus, amen. And notice what he says down there. Verse 4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He said, wait a minute. You think I'm blaspheming? You're blaspheming. He says, for whether, verse 5, is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. By the way, which one is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven. I can say that. Thy sins be forgiven. But Jerry, I can't say your knee is healed. Get up and walk. Yeah, I'm not, would to God I could do that. I can't say, honey, your tumor is gone in the name of Jesus. I can't do that. I can say your sins be forgiven, though, can I? I can say that. Jesus said, which one is easier? He says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins, so that you can know I can say this and I can do this. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And what did he do? And he arose. So could Jesus forgive his sins? Yes, he could. Did Jesus forgive his sins? Yes, he did. Did he get up and walk? Yes, he did. All of that came from something called cooperative faith. Let me get my illustration now here. Joshua, Shane, Gregory, Terrell and Layla, y'all go to the back and get your cop. They're going to exercise what they did here in this scripture here. There's going to be four of them, and they're going to try and bring the sick of the palsy to Jesus. I happen to be a bad demonstration of Jesus. Okay. Paralytic, you lay down on the cot there. Now, I want you to look at them because I'm going to ask you what it took to get them here because they have to exercise cooperative faith. I'll look at, see what they do. Now, Faith, what are you doing back there? Oh, okay. You can't move. Now you're a paralytic. If y'all drop her, all of y'all gonna be paralytic. Oh, yeah. Tilt her legs up. All right, ma'am, have you ever sinned? You have? Thy sins be forgiven thee. What you thinking? So you know I can do this, arise and walk. Wait a minute, you're supposed to get up and walk. All right, you can get up now. All right, so now she has been healed. Her sins are forgiven. Now you can go run a marathon.
Now she's
got to
carry that bed.
No, that's their job. Amen. All right, y'all get to bed. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions as to what you just witnessed with this. Amen. Cooperative. The word cooperative, it means involving two or more working together to do something. Amen. Like folding up the cot. Thank you, men. I appreciate that. All right. So we're going to be looking at little faith, great faith, predetermined faith, but this is cooperative faith. Palsy there in verse number, where we are here, 2. And behold, there they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Palsy means he's a paralytic. It means a relaxing of the nerves or weak limbs, or someone is disabled that they have no muscle tone ability. They can't move. And so they brought this man to Jesus Christ. And they brought this man to Jesus Christ under the impression that he could heal them. Why would they think that Jesus could heal him? They seen him do it before. Amen. By the way, if you saw somebody fix a flat and you have a flat, what would you guess? They can probably help you fix your flat. Amen. And so they bring this man to Jesus Christ. And as they bring this man to Jesus Christ, they're exercising cooperative faith. Now, why am I going over this one first? Because this is the same type of faith that you and I have to exercise in the church. If we're going to work together, we're going to have cooperative faith. I'm going to have to cooperate with you. You're going to have to cooperate with me so we can get the needs of the church met. Amen. And so they're demonstrating this, and that's why we're going with this one first. Amen. They came up here, and there's several things that it takes to have cooperative faith. Give me some input. What does it take to have cooperative faith? What did you see with these young men bringing her up here? Joshua? Cooperation. It did take cooperation. What else did you see, Ms. White? Working together, Gregory. Coordination. Amen. And by the way, they had to coordinate not to drop the paralytic. Amen. Nothing worse than being a paralytic and getting dropped because you can't get back up. Amen. What are you going to do? You're going to lay there until somebody feels sorry and get you back up. Praise God. So there had to be coordination. There had to be some communication. Who else? Somebody else had a hand up? What else is there? Did y'all witness coming up here? How about cautiousness, carefulness? She's already sick. You don't want to make it worse. I mean, bust her head. Amen. That'd be worse. Amen. A paralytic with a busted head. Amen. Yes. Planning. They had to see how they were going to get here. They had to make sure they didn't lift her head up so she does somersaults. Joshua. What else did it take to get her up here? Ms. White. Direction. They knew she had to go from point A to point B. Amen. They had to get her up here. Amen. What else did you notice that it took to get them up here? Or get her up here? Strength. Guess what? If they were all paralytics, they're still not getting anywhere. And if they couldn't see, they're not getting any place. So they've got to have eyesight. They've got to have vision. They've got to have some kind of strength. Amen. What if the paralytic was 500 pounds? They'd have to be some bench pressers. Amen. They had to put some wheels on them, amen. Put them on a push cart, amen. What else did it take to get the cooperation going? All these are good inputs. Yes, Joshua. Practice, amen. They did do this earlier to make sure they didn't drop poor Layla, amen. Yes, Brother Neil. Exactly, amen. There were more people than this guy there. You'll find other accounts and there are other parallels to this as well. So they had to get through. They had to be determined. So there had to be some determination there. They had to have a desire. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get to Jesus. I don't care what it takes. Amen. Move over. We're coming through. Amen. Down in front. Here we come. Who else had their hand up? Initiative. Amen. Somebody had to take control. Say, let's go left. Let's go right. Amen. Otherwise, you know, you're all over the place going like this. Amen. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, how many ever been a pallbearer at a funeral? That takes coordination because that casket is heavy. It's heavy. And if you got some weaklings and some weak links, all the weight's going to be shifted on your side. And if, you start walking with that thing, and it's tough walking with a heavy casket. And it takes some coordination, amen? So we're talking about cooperative faith here. And notice verse number 2 again. It says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Them bringing him mean that they had to work together. They had to synchronize some things here. They had to have a desire, as Brother Neil said. They had to see that this man needed to get to Jesus. By the way, what was their intention? To get him healed or to get him saved? Get him healed. What's more important, getting healed or getting saved? Getting saved. Amen. You can heal yourself or get healed and still go to hell. Amen. But you can get saved and go to heaven and have a brand new body. Amen. That's why Jesus said, hey, your sins are forgiven. That's going to give me access to heaven. When I get to heaven, I don't have to worry about being a paralytic. But Jesus said, just so that you can know, get up and walk. Amen. And so there's a difference there. And praise God that there was a difference here. And notice again, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. Just them bringing him had to come with some coordination, some planning, and some communication. I listed 3 key things that has to go into cooperative faith for you and I in church, out of the church, anywhere you go. Number 1 is communication. We have got to talk. We have got to know what's going on to get the person from point A to point B. Why does he need to go? What's going to happen when we get there? What direction are we going? There's got to be communication. If there is no communication, how do I know where you're going? And how do you know where I'm going? Amen. Communication number 2 is cooperation, as Joshua said. That's why it's called cooperative faith. They all had to get together to get this man to Jesus. By the way, why did he need to go to Jesus in the first place? He's a paralytic. Who was around Jesus mostly? Sick. Who else? Lame, blind, halt, maimed, the down and out, the destitutes. Who normally was not around Jesus? Wealthy, well-to-do, educated, those that thought they had it going on, those that were prideful, those that thought they didn't need Jesus, amen. Those were the ones normally wasn't around him. You have a few people like Zacchaeus. You have a few people like Matthew. You have a few like Joseph of Arimathea that had wealth, but they still had Christ. Amen. But oftentimes it was the down and outers. Amen. And so this man has this palsy. He's lying on a bed. And Jesus, notice this. This says, they brought to him a man. And then it says, Jesus seeing whose faith? Their faith. How do you see somebody's faith? By what they were doing. Faith is some action that you're putting behind a belief that you have. By the way, dead faith means you don't do nothing. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? You don't exercise faith and call on the Lord, you're not going to get saved. Amen. And furthermore, if you don't see you need to be saved, you're not going to call to be saved. Amen. Did Peter see his need to be saved this morning when he's walking on the water? And what did he do when he saw himself in need? He said, Lord, do what? Lord, save me. You're not going to call to be saved. You don't see a danger. Amen. When we see a danger, then we can call. This man here is a paralytic. Jesus sees their faith in action by them bringing him to him. And he comes for this healing. And as a result of coming for the healing, he not only gets a healing, but he gets heaven as well. Amen. God is good. So we need communication, number 1. We need cooperation, number 2. But then lastly, we need consideration as well. Why do we need consideration? Why is that important? Jerry?
If when you're all working together, things in the church or
anything,
you know, project, if you don't consider one another, then you don't have people coming to you,
Amen. If I'm working with people, I've got to consider other people. Amen. By the way, your opinion is not the only one that matters. Did you know that? Your way of doing things is not the only way to do things. Did you know that? Amen. My way is not always the best way, and nor is my way the only way. Amen. Hey, in a marriage relationship, the husband's way is not always the right way. Neither is the wife's way always the best way. Amen. And the children's way is normally the worst way. Amen. I'm picking at y'all children. Amen. But now, why is the children's way oftentimes the worst way? They haven't learned. They don't have the experience. Sometimes children can have some bright ideas, though. I mean, they come up with some doozies, some good ones. Like, man, why not think of that? Amen. I'm glad I thought of that. I'm glad I had you. Amen. And so it's not always the best idea. So consideration, then, it goes across the board. Now, as a church, let's bring this home. As a church, we have a mandate in Matthew 28. So let's go over there real quick. Because we're talking about this cooperative faith here. Matthew 28. Cooperative faith, Matthew 28, and notice how the Bible reads, because this is our responsibility for our cooperative faith. Matthew 28, and notice what the Bible says here in verse number 19. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means that as a church, you and I cooperatively, as well as individually, are to go and teach people how to get saved and make disciples of them. What should we do next? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We get them in the local church. We baptize them according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. That is what the church does. We go, we teach, we make disciples, we bring them in, we get them baptized. But then notice verse 20. Teaching them to observe how many things? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's going to take a long time, isn't it? Amen. But one of the first things that we can teach them is to go. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Notice this. And lo, I am what? With you for how long? Always, even unto what? The end of the world. Amen. So as a church, our mandate is right there in Matthew 28. Now, what do we have to do? We have to communicate that. By the way, do people still need to be saved? Yes. Are people still going to hell? Yes. Do people still have the ability to get saved?
Yes.
Can they call on Jesus Christ?
Yes.
But how can they call on him in whom they have not heard? Hence, it's the church's responsibility. What is our responsibility? To teach people how to be saved. As it says, make disciples out of them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then do what? Then to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then do what? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So as a church, our mandate is there. And so we must do the same thing that they did when they brought this guy to Jesus. Number one, we've got to communicate this message of Matthew 28, that it is our goal collectively as a church to get the gospel out. We've got to communicate that. By the way, everybody in here should be a witness. Everybody should be a witness, even if it's just giving out a tract and saying, hey, look, I'd like to share something with you. And here it tells you how to get to heaven. And you give that to them and they can read that. And you tell them about Jesus Christ if you get the opportunity. If not, you have still put in their hands the gospel message. Amen. And so we've got to communicate that. But then we've got to coordinate with that. That's why we have door knocking. That's why we have personal outreach day, Pastor White. That's why Pastor White organizes us to go out and knock on doors and encourage people to be saved. Amen. By the way, Steve Barlow was one that way, knocking on his door. Amen. We have to coordinate with this. Personal outreach day, door knocking, those things are all a part of this cooperative faith. And then we have to make sure that we cooperate with this coordination, this consideration, making sure we're going out there. We do what we can do to get the gospel out. By the way, can you do everything? No. Can you do something?
Yes.
Amen. God never expected you and I to do everything, but he did expect us to do something. And you can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. You can get somebody's help. Amen. In the church, we have got to have cooperative faith. By the way, everything else that we do in this church facilitates getting the gospel out. The nursery. How can a nursery facilitate getting the gospel out? Josh? Amen. Amen. By the way, have you ever had one of those times when a little child was in front of you and they were giving you the Google eyes and the baby eyes and being all slobbery? And what do you want to do back to them? Make faces. Oh, you're so cute. Yeah, you're doing all that. And the preacher's going on. And the preacher's saying, get right with God. You just missed all that. That's why we don't have babies in there. They go to the nurseries. They can be cute in there. Amen. You can see them afterwards. Amen. Now, am I against babies googling and gaggling in service? No, I'm not. I'm just saying it can be a distraction at times when you really don't want it to be a distraction. And the baby's so cute, you've got to goo-goo and gag-gag back at them. I mean, you just have to. Amen. It'll be, almost be ashamed if you didn't. And so the nursery helps facilitate getting the gospel out. Children's church workers, how does that help facilitate the gospel? Children's church, how's that? Jerk, Gregory? Amen. Plants the seeds. A children's church, Sunday school. The children can get the gospel on their level, because if they're an adult level, what's going to happen oftentimes? They're not going to understand it, especially they don't understand my jokes. I don't understand why they don't, but they don't understand the jokes. Amen. They're good jokes, but they don't understand that. Amen. And AM service, PM service, our Wednesday service, our van ministry. I was talking to Tony the other day, and we were talking about the van ministry, and somebody that rode the van had gotten saved. I forget who it was. It was back when we had that family that was out there. And he said, well, I just drive the bus. I said, no, son, you do more than drive the bus. I said, you brought those folks here so that they could get saved. I said, you have a very integral part in this. So again, the van ministry facilitates what we're cooperatively trying to do, and that is get the gospel out. So every ministry has its place and its cooperative faith that you and I use. Patch program on Wednesday nights. Does that facilitate the gospel? Yes, it does. It gives the gospel to them on their level while we're in here getting it here. Discipleship does the same thing. Amen. We've got all these different things, but they all work and tie into the one thing of cooperative faith, and that's getting people to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what they're exercising back there in Matthew chapter number 9, is this cooperative faith. The palsic man needed to get to Jesus to get a healing, but he couldn't get there by himself. By the way, I want to reach the world, but I can't reach the world by myself. It takes a cooperative effort with you working with me and me working with you, and communication and coordination and consideration. Cooperative faith involves unity. It involves stepping out by faith and stepping out with your fellow brother or sister in Christ for the common good of men, women, boys, and girls getting saved. It's not all about me, and it's not about you. Amen. It's about Jesus. Amen. And so when you see this paralytic man here, he is a picture of people cooperating with cooperative faith to get him to Jesus. Let's go back there real quick. Matthew chapter number 9. Now, men that were carrying Layla. Joshua, we'll start with you. Was it hard? What was so hard about it? Trying to maneuver around? Amen. Gregory, what was hard about it? Communication. Amen. Shane?
I was carrying all the weight.
He's carrying all the weight. Amen. Terrell, what was hard about it? Stepping at the same time, same pace. And did you notice something? You guys are different sizes. I mean, you're real tall and you're shorter, and Shane is a little tall and Gregory's a little shorter than Shane. And so you had a size disparity. So you had to kind of place yourself right. Otherwise, you know, Layla's being carried like this. I mean, she's ready to fly off the things. It's not a flying carpet. Amen. Were you hanging on for dear life, Layla? Were you afraid? Did you think they were going to drop you? He said he's going to flip you off. don't listen to anything Joshua says about that. Amen. Did you feel like you had to hold on? Did you feel like your life was in danger?
Yeah.
You did. Only by Joshua. You know, I believe that this paralytic man here, he had no sense of danger. I don't believe he had anything to fear, because he knew that these other men had his best interest at hand. And he knew that these men were there to help him. And when it comes to the church, that's how we have to feel with each other. We have to know that you're there to help us, and we have to be there to help you, and we've got to cooperate together. We've got to make sure that I am not afraid that you're going to drop me, and you're not afraid that I'm going to drop you. Amen. That just gives me a comfort level when it comes to the communication, the cooperation, and the consideration, because we're all working and cooperating for the common good. What's the common good? That people can get saved. They can get saved. Our biggest challenge is to cooperate and use cooperative faith. As we look in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to see these other faiths here, little faith and great faith, and then the predetermined faith a little bit later on. But cooperative faith is one that you and I exercise together. If we don't work it together, it's not going to happen the way it should. By the way, the church is not made up of just me. It's made up of the saved. And we band together. And we strive to get the gospel to everybody that we can. As we leave here tonight, let's plan on exercising cooperative faith and ask yourself this question. What area of the three do I need to work on the most? Is it my communication? Is it my cooperation? Is it my consideration of others? Which one do I need to work on the most? Because all three are needed. All three are needed. I can't do what I do without you. You can't do what you do without someone else. We are all interworking. By the way, if one of these guys was missing from carrying this paralytic, that would have made it just that much harder, Shane. Can you imagine being minus Terrell? More weight would have been on you. Then can you imagine being minus Gregory? More weight would have been on you. And then imagine, heaven forbid, if you were minus Joshua. You got to carry the paralytic on your shoulder now. And then he says, well, guess that's one paralytic that's not getting to Jesus, amen. Jesus, can you come to us? I'm not carrying this person, amen. Hey, cooperative faith is necessary. It's necessary. You know, as we close here, I like what he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. All of us need our sins forgiven. We have to ask ourselves, have my sins been forgiven? Have I been to Jesus? Have I been to the cleansing flow? Am I washed in the blood? Am I a born again person? Am I saved? If I died right now, am I sure? And if you can say yes, praise God. Now it's time to cooperate. Now it's time to communicate. Now it's time for consideration to get the gospel to someone else. If you have it already, now it's time for somebody else to get it. But if you don't have it, now it's your turn to receive it so that you can be forgiven of your sins. By the way, Jesus said it so clearly, thy sins be forgiven. But notice what he says before that, be of what? Good cheer. Take courage. It's okay. I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things is to die with your sin. But when they're forgiven, you can be of good cheer. You can be of good cheer. Amen. Why? They're forgiven. By the way, a priest can't do it. Mass can't do it. Somebody can't pray it for you. You've got to ask to be forgiven. You've got to ask that. If you've not done that, I trust that you'll do that tonight. Let's leave here tonight asking Jesus, Lord, do I need to work on my communication with others? Do I need to work on my cooperation with others? Do I need to work on my consideration with others? And I'm sure God will come back and tell you which area you lack at. You say, I'm good in all of those. You're probably not as good as you think. You may lack in one area. But if you don't have your sins forgiven, the first thing you want to cooperate is cooperate with God. When he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Cooperate with God when he said the wages of sin is death. Cooperate with God when he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Cooperate with him when he says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cooperate with him on that and then go forward helping others get to Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your goodness in our lives, Lord. Thank you for being a blessing and an encouragement. Thank you for what you demonstrate through this man sick of the palsy. He's paralyzed and can't do anything by himself, and so he needs cooperative faith. And Lord, as we cooperate to get others to Jesus Christ, help us to communicate better, to cooperate better, and to consider others better. And Lord, help us to have this cooperative faith as a church as we get the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl that we can. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, just for a moment, how many would say, preacher, I am not sure that heaven is my home, but I am concerned about it. Would you remember me in your closing prayer? Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Just stick your hand up and I'll pray for you. You can put it right back down. Anyone at all? Amen. I see one hand. Is there another? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned. Pray for me. Pray for me. How about your communication, your cooperation, your consideration? Perhaps you need to work on one of those. Let God speak to your heart. Father, we thank you for the one that raised their hand. Lord, give clarity of thought. Lord, give a clear mind. You say you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Help us to make the decisions that we need to make today. And Lord, help us to exercise this cooperative faith, trusting that you, Lord, will work through us to do our part in the local church. And help us to have great communication, great cooperation, and great consideration of others, that we may see the gospel get to more and more lives. Thank you for Matthew's gospel account. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than we came. A little bit knowledgeable, dealing with cooperative faith, and Lord, getting people to Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give our young men a hand. Amen. And Layla.